Maybe I just worry you a little bit, I trouble you a bit with a question. Why did you come to church this morning? All right. Somebody is quick and he gives his answer to worship God. And somebody came here this morning because every Sunday morning we have to go to church. Yeah, yeah, that's it. So every Sunday morning we have to go to church. It's become our custom, our routine, something we do every Sunday. So it becomes a part of our life. It just involves in our plan. And so with that, we're not going to church because we have any intention, but because it's part of our routine. So bad. That's why routines are very dangerous at times, because they make you not have a purpose or a determination for something. But I really want to trigger you this morning to have something in your heart. And what's that thing I'm talking about? Really expect that God will say something to you in particular this morning and to church, and to us as a church. So I feel in my heart there's something God wants us to look into this morning, and I want you to turn your Bible with me, and let's open to the book of Ecclesiastes.
Meaningless.
But I will surprise you. I'm not going to talk about vanity this morning. I wouldn't talk about meaningless this morning, to a great surprise. There's some good things inside, and I want to get out of it something amazing, which God wants us to hear this morning. Are we ready then? Oh, all right. Ecclesiastes chapter number 7. And we want to look at verses 8. It's there. Take a look at that. It doesn't have anything to do with vanity anyway. Okay. All right. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse number 8 says, I'm interested in the A part, and that's what we really want there. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. That's it. And I want to switch on and go to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. New Testament, Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6. There we are. Verse number 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Thank you, God, this morning. I know you are about to speak, and your people are listening. Speak this morning with power. Speak with authority. Amen. So, this morning, I don't know whether you are so interested in topical messages or not, but there's something we're talking about this morning. Let's talk about finishing. Everybody say with me, finishing. Finish. When you hear the word finish, it definitely tells you that there was a start. You can never finish something except you started. There can never be a finishing except there was a starting point. There can never be an end except there was a beginning. Now the Bible speaks to us in Ecclesiastes 7, verse number 8, where we read, and it says, better is the end of a matter than the beginning. What does that in itself teaches us? It is teaching us that if we don't end what we started, then it were better we did not start it. It's teaching us that what gives value and what gives strength to whatever we do is not just that we start it, but that we should do what? Finish it. We should end it. We should be able to get to the finishing line. I take us to our world today. A lot of people are excited to start things.
My brother just talked this morning. He said, oh, it was so amazing when he gave his life to Jesus. And I tell you, if it wasn't amazing the day and the very moments you gave your life to Jesus, then something was lacking. Because when you come in contact with Jesus, one of the significant things that you feel is that you feel excited from within. There is a joy you can't tell, you can't explain, but it's all there. That beginning is always awesome. It's always great to think about. The beginning is always exciting. The beginning always looks promising. The beginning is always full with what? Enthusiasm. There's always enthusiasm in the beginning. And many people begin, but few people end. Many people start things, but very few people do finish things. I don't want you, nor do I want myself, to be among those who just start things, but I want to be among those who start things and do what? And finish them. I watched something, I think it was an advert here in England last year. I can't remember, but that advert was exciting. And I'm going to use it a little bit as I bring the first point in my message here. In order to finish well, there is one thing, the first thing we ought to do, which I feel is important, is that we need to count the cost of whatever we want to do. Hello? If you will finish well, if you will be able to finish well, then in the beginning, you ought to count the cost. Counting the cost is very important in the beginning. And in the book of Luke, chapter number 14, verse 28, Jesus talks about something with, in line with what we are trying to say this morning. Jesus says, who of you wanting to build a house will not sit down to consider the cost? If you want to build a house, you're going to sit down and think and consider how much it's going to take. And you find out how much you are able to put in. And then he turns the other way and brings a story differently. He said, which king will want to go to war, to battle, and not sit down and properly count the cost before he steps into battle? The answer is that every king will definitely do what? Take an account, a stock of what he has and his potentials before he gets into a battle. Whatever you want to start in this life, whatever you know God has even called you to do, when you want to do it right from the beginning, it is very important to count the cost. If you will want to finish well, counting the cost at the beginning is very important. Is somebody with me this morning? If I have a witness, let me see your hand. Count the cost. I said I watched an English advert last year. So in that advert, there was a young man, well-dressed, and on his wedding day, that's the bride, and he stands before the bride, and they were about to exchange their vows. And when they came to the stage where he had to say, yes, I will, then he stood there before the bride. And then memories of who the wife will become in many years to come began to cross through his mind. And in that advert, they brought a picture of the wife, I mean, when she will become pregnant. And then a young man was in his mind. And then he saw a lot of pimples in her face and saw her in all her struggling stage. The pictures were just passing in her mind. Then saw her when she is angry. And I think... Various images of who she will become were passing through her mind. Through his mind. Then at the end, after considering all these things, then the young man boldly opened his mouth and said, yes, I will. What a funny thing. But it is so real. So important. He was counting what? The cost. Will I be able? When she is in this stage, when she's pregnant, when she's become a mother, when the children begin to take her time, when this, you know the rest, huh? You can line the rest. When these things begin to happen, will I still love her? Will I still continue with her? And then he made up his mind and said, yes, I will. Beloved, we got lots of trouble today. A lot of trouble in marriages. How many marriages start in a day? And how many finish? How many do stop because they don't finish? They stop. There's a difference between a stop and a finish. Many people start marriages and they can't finish them because they didn't count the cost from the beginning. They were just excited with the pleasure that will come at the beginning. And that was all they had in their minds. But it takes more than that. They did not count the cost. They didn't consider how much it would take. And so when they get into it and the challenges begin to come, oh, I didn't think about that. I didn't think she will ever be pregnant. Oh, I didn't think she will ever give too much time to the children. Oh, I didn't think she will ever get angry because from the beginning she was always an angel. Oh, yeah. Normally now, when a young man falls in love, he doesn't see why everybody around him is not seeing what he's seeing. The same thing with a young lady. Sometimes when the parents want to say, please take a look. Come on, mom, why can't you feel what I'm feeling and see what I'm seeing? Don't you think he's this way? Oh no, I don't see it. And she can't see it because she doesn't want to see. But counting the cost is very important. Lots of things are starting up today, but many of them don't finish because we didn't count the cost from the beginning. I'm preaching with you. Help me tell your neighbor, whenever you want to start anything, count the cost. Thank you. Tell your neighbor. Whatever you want to start, count the cost. Count it. Count the cost. Count the cost. You want to start a job? Do what? You want to build a house? Do what? You want to start a friendship? Do what? You want to start a marriage? Do what? You want to buy a car? Do what? You want to buy a dog? Do what? Everything. Count the cost. You want to do one thing for God, make sure you count the cost. That's true. It's bad when we start and can't finish. So, the way to avoid it, the first step is to make sure we do cost counting. Counting the cost. Because better is the end of a matter than the beginning. To be honest, our world is in trouble today. Marriage is in trouble. Lots of marriages, people getting sweeping in. But how many really finish up? How many do finish up? If we must finish, and not only finish, but finish well, we've got to count the cost right from the beginning. Consider what it takes. If you want to start a school course, count the cost. Consider what it will cost you. And check it well and see whether you will be able to manage it through. Honestly, I've come to learn and I'm passionate about finishing whatever I start. And I believe that God wants every one of us to do cost counting. In fact, God himself counts the cost very well. He does it. He counts the cost. He knew what it would take him for man to be saved. And it took him ages to prepare. And then in Galatians, you will now hear, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. What was he waiting for? Counting the cost, putting things together to make sure he succeeds in his journey to save humanity. And today, we are a product of a finished work of Calvary. If Jesus did not finish his work at Calvary, you would not be here, and I would not be here. If many people after many years will be able to stand up and do the things they have to do because of your influence, then you need to finish your own job well. And the way to finish it, one of the first steps, is that we count the cost of everything that we want to begin. Count the cost. Come on, if you want to take care of an orphan somewhere in Africa, Asia, or one thing or the other, count the cost from the beginning. Don't make them trust you today, and then after some months, you can't do it. Oh, it gets bad. Hey, but don't miss out on me, because some people are already thinking now to become faithless. Because we must try to create a balance between counting the cost and also putting our faith in God. It's very important. Yeah, you can be able to analyze things so much so that you just forget about God. Watch out. We're not saying that. When you're counting the cost properly, one of the things is that God is among the cost. I don't know how to make this word work. But God is one of your number one resources. Am I right to say so? Yeah, He's one of your number one resources. I trust in God first. He is my number one resource as I am stepping into this whole deal. I trust that God will take me through. Then you start to look around. The next thing is, what do I have in place? This thing, and the rest. And you go on. So when I talk about counting the cost, I'm not telling you to begin to operate without faith. Christianity cannot go without faith. Whatever you do, it takes faith. Look, even to get married, it takes faith. Because no matter what you say, you know your wife or the person you are affianced with. Look, you don't know the person enough yet. There's too much you don't see. And when you don't see, the only thing you do is that you are walking by faith. Because you are not seeing. Come on here. That's true. We have to count the cost. You need to do. I need to do. The second thing we need to do, if we want to finish and finish properly, is that from the very beginning, we need to determine that we are going to finish. It may not make sense to you, but I think it makes sense. You must determine that you are going to finish right from the beginning. I don't like the concept of just saying, I just want to try. I just want to try. No. Take your time well. When you've counted the cost and realize that it can work, the moment you are taking step into it, be bent to finish it. Be determined in your heart that if I'm getting married, I will finish my marriage. Let me tell you why a lot of people don't resist difficulties and challenges when they come their way. The simple reason is this. Whenever challenges just show up, because they never determine in their minds to finish, they don't look for solutions, they rather look for a way to quit. But a man who is determined to finish, when he faces a challenge, he starts to think, how can I get an answer to this? How can I get an answer to this? And that's the kind of person that gets inspiration. When you start to say, how can we face this matter? How can I get over with this matter? Then inspiration comes in. But a man who was not determined to finish the journey, when he is talked by a challenge, the next thing that comes to his mind is retreat. I show you, the children of Israel, what did they do when they came to the wilderness and met the challenges? Because they were not determined in their minds from the beginning to carry it through. Oh, we remember what we ate in Egypt. We remember the onion, the garlic. We remember. Come on, let's make a leader and go back to Egypt. But there were some guys who had already looked forward and said, no, we want to go. And you know them. You know Joshua. You know Caleb. Oh, we want to go through. They were so determined to get over with it. So much so that what looks like giants before the other people was to them bread and honey. How do we explain this? Look at it. The other people said, oh, the people in the land are horrible. They are giants. We were before them like grasshoppers. Oh no, we cannot stand them. But Joshua and Caleb, because they were so determined and wanted to get to that land, their vision was different. And what did they say? They said, no, don't be worried. Oh, if God delights in us, then he will give us the land. Don't worry about those men of that land. They are rather like bread unto us. I used to make it funny. I said, oh, the guys were they were wise. God told them it's a land flowing with milk and honey. And if you have milk and honey, then you need some bread. the guys will be bread for us. What do you think when you come across a challenge in something you started? What comes first in your mind? Retreat? Or what can I do to break through? Only those who determine from the beginning to finish will think that way. When you have a mind that is determined to finish, the moment an obstacle shows up, you are not looking for an alternative to get off. I mean, you are not looking for a way to step out. You're rather looking for a way to overcome that challenge. That's what makes some people finish their marriages. And that's what makes some people not finish their marriages. Say, oh, how can I solve this problem? Others said, no, I can't study. I just can't solve it. Let me ask a simple question. What do you think makes some people succeed in their own marriages? Because they don't have difficulties? What a fat lie. I'm sure all the married will say, oh, no, no, no. Is it because their partners are like angels, people who've gone through heaven 2 times and are waiting for the 3rd time when Jesus comes? No. It's simply because they are determined to finish the journey that they started. If you must finish well, determine to finish. Amen. Since we're preaching together, tell your neighbor now, if you must finish well, then determine to finish. Determine to finish. We must determine to do what? To finish. Your only motivation in the time of difficulty is your determination. Look, I hate to fail. I have a kind of mindset. I think God gave me that mindset. What's my mindset? The moment I see things like almost getting off hands and like defeat has come, I always tell myself, the greatest darkness is announcing that a great light is coming. That's me. I said, the greatest darkness certainly is telling me that a great light is coming. Oh, these things are all working out for my good. Do you think Jesus had an easy life? Tell me somebody. But do you listen to his words? What does he say in John chapter 4 verse 34? My meat is to do the will of him that has sent me. Not just to do it, but to do what? To finish it. It was in his mind to finish even before he started. He said, my meat is to do his will, not just doing it, but to finish it. Don't just do things. Learn to finish things. Hello? Finish things. And you've got to determine that you want to finish them. I want to take you to a 3rd point. If you want to finish well, if we have to finish well, then you must be aware of opposition. Be aware of opposition. Be aware of tough times that may come. See, challenges surprise people. When you say something surprised you, it means you were not aware. Am I right to say so? Is my English proper here? You're not expecting it. No, that's true. Lots of people find shocks
in marriage. Oh, I never knew. I didn't know. Oh, I didn't know.
They failed. They didn't do any findings and they were not aware of anything.
Oh, I didn't know.
They made opposition. Let me tell you. Don't think that because you are doing something that is good, you will never be opposed. Rather, I promise you that you are doing something. If you are doing something that is of God, expect that opposition will come. Don't pray for it. You've got too many things to pray for. Leave that one. It comes on its own. There are some prayers you don't need to pray. No, don't pray. Don't pray and say, oh God, allow the devil to tempt me. Don't worry. Temptation will come. What's your deal? Come on, pray for other things. No, that's true. Some people have sat and said, oh God, I pray. Let persecution come my way. I want something to really persecute me. Relax. That's not a prayer to pray. Pray for other things. Pray for other things. But it's important to be aware that in everything you do, oppositions may come. And when you have this mindset that oppositions may come, what happens when you meet them? You are never shocked by them. They don't shock you. Apostle Paul did something. When you read in the book of Acts, I think in chapter 21, when Agapos, I think, the prophet came around and they were there in Jerusalem and Agapos took the belt of Paul and then tied Paul with the belt. But some Bible students understand this. Then tied him and said, thus says the Lord, the man who owns this belt, this is the way they are going to tie him in Jerusalem. Oh, the prophet didn't say, don't go to Jerusalem. Then the brethren in the church started saying, oh, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. They will bind you up and lock you up. He said, hey, stop saying all these things and breaking my heart. Why? He already knew the things that would befall him. If you read in chapter 20, verse number 24, he said, but none of these things moved me, neither counted my life to be anything. Only that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry that the Lord has given me. None of these things move me. He wanted to say in that chapter, he said, come on, I know these things. The Spirit of God had already told me that in every city, opposition and persecution and imprisonment is awaiting me. So I don't fear to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to Jerusalem and I'm not only ready to go to prison, I'm ready to die for my cause. Hey, strong words. Why? He wants to finish so much so that he's ready to give in anything that it takes to finish. A good finisher is ready to give up his life just to finish his course. That's true. And that's what Jesus did. To prove to us he was a good finisher. He gave his life to finish his course. Amazing to think about. When you are aware that life is a life that will come with oppositions. When you go here and go there and meet oppositions, they will not cause you to fret. If we read in the book of Ezra, we will find something in Ezra chapter 3. He said, when the foundations of the temple were laid after Israel returned from captivity. You know, I would call that post-captivity or whatsoever. Don't worry about all this biblical study stuff. Relax, we just get the point there. So, when they came back and laid the foundations of the temple, wow, the Bible says there was celebration everywhere, singing and shouting. Singing and shouting. Wow. And guess what? A short while later, trouble came. Opposition came. Opposition came. Don't ever be deceived that if you are in the will of God, you will not be opposed. I remind you, and I speak to you by the Spirit of God, that if at all you are in the will of God, get ready.
and prepare yourself that opposition will come. Because the scriptures have shown us that the devil attacks the will of God in every level. When you are in the will of God, you are not free from attacks and opposition. There is no free zone. Not even one. And guess what happened? Opposition came. After the people were celebrating and said, wow, we've laid the foundation. The beginning. Wow, exciting. Then the next moment, people rose against them. But I love what Ezra and the rest did. They were strengthened. The prophets spoke to the people and encouraged the people. Come on, move on. Come on, don't be discouraged. And I think if we must always finish things we start, we need some people around us at a moment of difficulties and opposition to tell us, come on, Jane. Come on, John. Move on. You can make it. We need some people to tell us, carry on. Don't give up. Be strong. Because every giant needs encouragement. Joshua, a man that saw the power of God through Moses. God himself stood out and said, Joshua, be strong and be courageous. God encouraged him. That's why the Bible cautions us to encourage one another. What happened? If you read carefully in chapter 6 of that Ezra, the Bible said that temple was finished. Although they were opposed, they didn't stop. They kept moving on. They could have stopped. But they kept moving on to the finish. Opposition in your journey or in anything you're doing in life or for God is not an announcement for you to stop. I repeat, opposition in your life journey is not an announcement for you to stop. When you are opposed, in fact, do what, if I were a good driver, I could describe this well. You know, when you're driving, let's say you want to, you know, you're going up a hill. When the gear you're using grows weaker, it's because it's meeting with a greater challenge. What do? You change the gear and you put a gear that can adapt to that and you move on. When it gets tough too, in spiritual things, we need to do sometimes a change of gear. We don't need to stop. We need to push on. Change dimension. Pray better, study the Bible better, and move to a different direction with God and soar higher and don't give up. Be aware of the position of the enemy. He will oppose, but don't give up at his opposition. Hallelujah. You don't give up at his opposition, no matter what happens. Is somebody with me this morning? We sure will face oppositions. Today I don't know the things that you're doing. But I feel that people here whom God has put things in their hearts to do. There are people who need to finish some things they've started. And I think this morning God is saying, you must not give up when opposition shows up. You must make sure you do what? You finish. Because better is the end of a matter than the beginning. There's nothing to prove that you ever started in a real sense if you didn't finish it. And we don't just want to finish. We want to finish well. That's true. It's not just finishing anyhow. It's finishing well. I love the way Apostle Paul speaks in that Acts 20 verse 24. He said, I want to finish my course with joy. He said, some people finish their course with sorrow. So, oh, this thing. Oh, Paul said, no, I want to finish it with joy. I want to finish it with joy. I want to finish it with a joyful attitude. Church, we started here. And this work is moving on. I think I'm saying something important. I want you to catch this. Don't leave it. My last point is that a good finisher must plan to hand over. That looks strange to you. But hear me good. The things you finish well today, if you don't plan to hand over properly, when you die, those things die. But any man who wants to be a good finisher will be like Jesus, who died thousands of years ago But what he did is still continuing. A good finisher is one who dies, and what he did keeps living on to other generations. Anything you are doing, plan to leave a legacy. Plan to make sure that after you, there is a continuity. That is what it takes to be a good finisher. Many people finish, but I don't call them good finishers because they didn't think about the next generation. But a good finisher will think about the next generation. If you establish things and you don't think about how those things will look like in your absence, then you haven't finished well. You must have a picture of what it will look like when you are no more there and plan it well. You look at the life of Jesus, he's an excellent finisher. Look at the way he treated the disciples. Explain everything to them. Before he was taken, he already established them to take over the business. And he sent them to practice the ministry he trained them for. And they came back with results. Come on, that's right. That's what he wants. Church, now listen. We are here. God called us to do a work here in Broadfield. But let me tell you, to make sure that by the time we, the elderly ones, are giving up and going to glory, this work should not stop. I don't know whether I'm speaking by prophecy or by command from God, but I want you to take it serious. We must do what some people call succession planning. We must make sure that in our absence, what we did would not die. Because if it dies, then we cannot say we finished properly. We must think of how to make sure this work keeps on. That is what every good finisher has in his mind. Hello? Talk to me. Every good finisher thinks about what it will be like when he's no longer there. What are you thinking? Do you sometimes remember, maybe there's some, I don't know whether it happens here in England, but in my country, some very rich people, very rich, and then they died. And in very few years, everything they had labored for years and got, the children or the people they kept in place could not manage it, so it dies. And it's all wiped off. Why? They didn't do proper succession planning. They didn't do proper handing over. Whatever you do, when it comes your time to finish, make sure. I repeat, I say I don't know whether I'm speaking by prophecy or by command from God. Make sure there is a continuity. Make sure there is a continuity. If you have built a successful marriage home, do your very best for those God has given you as children, that when you are no longer there, there will also be good examples of a marriage that others can look to. It's important. What are you planning? What are you doing at the moment? Succession planning is important. Every good finisher finishes with a legacy that continues. That's what the life of Jesus has taught us. That a man finished well, and years after years, thousands of years are gone by, and he keeps growing and growing. The name of Bill Gates would disappear in the sand if he doesn't end properly. After a few years, those he leaves a legacy with will have crushed everything. Same to us with church. Same to us in our jobs. In any business God called us to establish. Make sure you finish well. Don't finish foolishly. Come on. Sorry. Don't end up your life without concluding things and fixing them properly before you go. Don't die and leave your money with the government. In fact, leave it with the work of God, because you will get a reward in heaven. I'm serious about that. Very serious, eh? No, that's true. Almost done. We must finish well. One, we must count the cost. Two, we must determine to finish. Three, beware of opposition. Beware, I mean it. Beware that the devil will attack you. Sorry to say this, but you know, over here in the West, there's something I realize. In Africa, some people take it to the other extreme. In the West, we take it to the other extreme. People in Africa are too devil conscious. They see the devil in everything. Then people in the West don't just think that he exists. Sorry to say that. No, everything, if we cannot see it in the lab, if we can't find it in the computer, if science cannot see it, then it doesn't exist. It's a big lie. The devil exists in our world. We don't advocate him. We don't go to look for the devil. But don't live as though the devil does not live. Apostle Paul makes a powerful statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. He said, we are not ignorant of the devices of the devil. He didn't advocate for the devil, but he knew that the devil did exist. This, our war, is influenced by a spiritual world. If you read the story of Job, you will find out clearly what happened. No, that's true. You wouldn't, not because when disasters occur, everything we think about is we want the geographers to tell us why there is this kind of, why did this kind of volcano happen here? Why did this thing happen here? But when you study the book of Job, you will be amazed to realize what happened. Oh, all the cattle, master, we were on the field and a thunder just struck and all the cattle died. Was it just a thunder? If you read the story from the beginning, you know the devil had gone before God and said, just take off your hand and let me do something. So where did the thundering come from? No, the devil, that's clear. Who brought all the destruction on Job's life? It was the devil. Oh, surprise. But that's it. You read your Bible, you will see that clearly. Look at the kind of disasters that were occurring around the things of Job, around his children. And you will know that there is a devil that exists. I'm not asking you to become devil conscious. Like I've said, those in Africa go to the other extreme and we go to the other extreme here in the West. Let's keep the balance. We are not advocating for the devil, but we don't live as though he does not exist. We know he exists. We are not focused on him. We focus on God. But when the devil shows up, we don't say, no, he doesn't exist. See, one of the greatest ways that the devil manipulates people is to make them feel that he doesn't exist. When you feel he doesn't exist, you are finished. Then whatever thing he does, you will keep looking for a natural source. What cause is there? You're looking for it. Go to the lab and never find it. Something happened one day. A young man, I think not really young, he was about 35 years old, just got up during the day, fell up from his bed. And they tried to talk to him. He couldn't talk again. He's seeing, he's hearing what they are saying, but if he comes, what? His mouth can't open. They took him to the hospital, did all the checks, did everything, put the drug, the drip and all the sort. But one of the relatives was smart enough. He said, come on, but how is this thing? Let's call somebody to come here and pray for the person. Let's invite a spiritual authority. In the hospital is a doctor's authority anyway. So when I reached there, the young man was even sleeping. So I said, okay, we just pray. Whatever power that is holding you, let it leave you. Be free in Jesus' name. Then stop. Hey, call his name. He answered, huh? The family was amazed. What happened? But I tell you the truth. He could stay in the hospital for months and nothing will happen. Because the things that are spiritual can only be dealt with by another spiritual power. The things that are biological need something biological anywhere, but the supernatural can still prevail in that area. But I want you to watch out. We live in a war that the devil opposes us. Don't live as though you don't have an opposition. Sometimes there are attacks on marriages. There are attacks on children. The devil attacks in many ways. And we stay ignorant. He will do more harm. But we must be aware that we have an enemy. One who opposes us. That's our third point. And our last point is to make sure we don't die. We don't finish and not think about what happens next. We must think about what happens next. Do a proper hand over. Very necessary. Church, think well. Let's see what we can do to make sure that more young people get saved. Make sure that all our children who are growing with us here become faithful with God. Because that is the generation that should take over. If we don't take care of that, then we doubt what we will become in the next 40 years. God help us. Shall we pray?